in Toronto. Turns out to be a series win against the Blue Jays. That's four consecutive series wins. The Royals are 9-6 since the All-Star break. They're back to 500, 56-56 with 50 to go, 3.5 games back in the wild card race. And the reason why they're in this spot is since the All-Star break, this offense now is averaging over 5 runs. In fact, 5.5 runs per game post All-Star break. That's the difference. It was the obvious thing that we've been talking about all season. The offense, what would they do? You know, they already saw even a few of the trade deadline moves pay off already. I'm not saying that like we need to throw a parade, but it was great to see they acquire Yastrzemski in his first at bat. He hits a 2-run home run to help them win on Friday night.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting seeing Yaz going back to Boston. Speaking of Yaz, as the Royals go to Boston, it's been fun. They had a winning record in July. This team's been playing better. They've been hitting the ball over the fence. And look at yesterday. It was a game where the Royals were being no hit. And typical Royals fashion, you know, May or June, they lose that game. They get like maybe 1 or 2 hits and lose the game, you know, 2-0. I mean, it's just the way it goes. But they came back. They scratched. They fought. They come back and they win the game. They're just feeling different. And I think the front office had a little bit to do with that, to be honest with you. I think it's more than a little bit. I think when they gave Lugo the extension, because Lugo was looked upon as the trade piece in Kansas City, that set everything in motion. Because you never forget Vinny and the players talking in Chicago when Lugo pitched against the Cubs. They're like, well, we want to see him again. We want to see him again in a Royals uniform. You know, that's what they wanted to say. They saw him in Kansas City, but then they get that extension. But that just shows you the players were thinking about Lugo. Like, we don't want to lose this guy. Because you send a white flag. We talk about white flags, and I was talking about it because I felt that if they traded Lugo, it was a white flag for this team, clearly. And it doesn't matter what I think or the fans think or anything. It's what are those guys in the clubhouse, the Bobby Witt Jr., Sal Perez, Vinny Pasquantino, those guys, what do they think? Then when he gets the extension, that sent a message. Like, hey, this team wants to win. And then all of a sudden, they're sitting on the tarmac there before they fly to Toronto just to make sure that nobody's got to get off the plane that they were traded and or anything. And they made moves. And all of a sudden, you know, you check Twitter, whatever, and these guys all do it. They sit on that plane and you go, oh, the Royals made another move, another move, another move. That sent a message to that team that the organization was 100% for what they were doing. And that sends shockwaves to the team, man. When your organization's behind you and they're not selling everybody off like the Minnesota Twins, and you're looking around at an empty room and waiting for the AAA call-ups to fill out your team. No, they were adding pieces because the organization believed in them. And I think that goes a long way. And then look, Sal Perez, man. This guy's just, last 21 games, he's got 11 home runs. This guy's just killing it.
Yeah, I mean, he continues to defeat, you know, Father Time. And there was a stretch in May where it looked like maybe it finally got him. And obviously he's been sensational and he is a huge reason why they're now averaging 5.5 runs post All-Star break and why this team has worked their way back. I mean, to their credit, there's a lot of people I don't think believe they would get back to 500. You know, I've said that I think they're going to fluctuate between 3 under 500 and 3 above 500 the whole year, which means they're going to be in that convo. That's where I've been. But I think, understandably so, people are very skeptical would they get to 500. And I'm not sitting here today telling you now that they're going to make the playoffs now. But they have put themselves, though, where they're going to have a shot the rest of the way. And honestly, I know preseason expectations were make the playoffs, compete for the division. That doesn't change. That was always the expectation. But I give them credit because it would have been very easy for this to go really, really south, and they haven't. And this is now going to be hopefully a fun 50 games that we got left in this season. 3.5 back, man. That's it. And the fact that the series win was against the Blue Jays, people can't push back and say, well, it was against the Oakland Athletics or Sacramento, whatever the hell they're called, Athletics. You know, you can't say, no, the Blue Jays were one of the best teams in baseball. Basically, it's what, Toronto, Detroit, and Milwaukee, I think, have the 3 best record, something like that, in baseball at this point in time. This was a really, really good Blue Jays team that you faced, and it started with Friday night. You beat up on them pretty good. You got a couple home runs from guys like Bobby and Yastrzemski, as I said, and then yesterday you win in extra innings and wrap up the series, and now you take on a Red Sox team that I think, if I would have told you they're playing them a few weeks ago, you would have said, oh, look out. The Red Sox are vulnerable. This is a Red Sox team that's in third in their own division now.
Well, no, the Red Sox are a little bit better than that. They've won 8 of the last 10. They're only 3 games back at Toronto for first place.
When did that change?
Well, the Red Sox have gotten good. They've gotten hot.
The Yankees maybe are now third.
The Yankees are third.
Yeah, when did that
change? But the Red Sox are 8-2 in their last 10. Right. The Red Sox are red hot.
All right, that's my fault.
At this point. So this is a tough series. I mean, the Royals facing the Red Sox, again, just 3-game lead.
No, they're 2 up on the Yankees.
The Red Sox. Okay. But again, the Yankees are faltering. They get swept by the Marlins this weekend. But the Red Sox, you know, start turning things on as of late. So it's a really good series with Ken and Mike Yastrzemski going back to Fenway, you know, where Carl, you know, made his hay, grandfather back in the day. But, you know, the Royals are red hot, but it sends shockwaves. And Sal Perez, look at this, gold. His last 22 games, 11 home runs, 17 ribs, 28 hits, batting .346. This is why. It's summertime, Sal. They're getting this, influx Bobby, and then you get the new additions. You got Vinny, always doing what Vinny's been doing. You know, and Kyle Isbell coming up with timely hits for this organization. And all of a sudden, you got, you know, 4 to 5 guys producing in this lineup. You're going to see 5, 6, 7 runs at times. Again, yesterday when you look at that game, they typically just got rolled in games like that early this season. But this team just different mindset.
50 to go. I mean, we'll be having this conversation for the rest of the season. But what do you think they have to do to actually get into the postseason? I'm not talking about, like, hey, hit more. I'm talking about, like, win total-wise. They have to play still 8 to 10 games above .500 the rest of the way. Don't you agree? You're now at 500. I mean, so the odds will tell you, by the way, they're plus +440 to make the playoffs right now at FanDuel. Well, and to not make the playoffs, they're minus -650.
It is a chance. There's the same chance as of last weekend that they had in 2014. It's about almost the same identical odds to make the postseason. Look at it this way. The Royals have, all right, so the third and fourth wildcard teams at this point, obviously just three make it, but Seattle a 2-game lead on Texas because Seattle took care of business against the Rangers this weekend. But think about this. So the Royals have 4 against Texas in the next homestand. They already swept Texas in Texas. They still got 3 against the Mariners, all at Kauffman Stadium. So that's 7 games remaining against 2 of the teams ahead of the Royals. That's huge. Cleveland sits there just a half game ahead of the Royals. But do we have a lot of faith in Cleveland at all? I mean, they lose a starter and they lose Emmanuel Clase for the rest of the year. Well, they're at least gone until September at this point, but they've cleared their lockers out in everything in Cleveland. But that was a major blow with Clase to Cleveland. So I can't see Cleveland still hanging on. So really, it's watching Seattle and Texas, and there's your third wild card if the Royals can make that. Which, again, I'll remind people, winning the third wild card is okay. 2 years ago, the Rangers played the Diamondbacks in the World Series. Okay, Diamondbacks were the third wild card. Rangers were the second wild card and only 1 game removed from being the third wild card that year. Just get into the dance. But really, it's Seattle and Texas because the Yankees, I don't think the Yankees are going to continue to slide like this. But Seattle and Texas are the two teams Royals need to keep losing.
Seattle's a tricky one because they've been heavy at the deadline, too. That's
very heavy.
That's something we discussed last week a little
Suarez
bit.
Is and Naylor.
You go out and make the moves they made at the deadline. They're obviously all in. I thought the Royals, though, still, I think it continues to show itself.
And the Rangers based off pitching staff.
Being 500, Bink, is the fact that they were smart with how they approached the deadline. They got some pieces. We're going to see in this Red Sox series a couple of the pieces that they traded for, talking about the pitchers that they brought in, whether it was from the Pirates or from the Padres organization. The implied odds, what it tells us percentage-wise, when you're plus +440 at FanDuel to make the playoffs, that means they're giving them an 18.5% chance to make the postseason right now as we sit on August 4th with this team 50 to go and sitting at 500. We'll talk some more Royals baseball, obviously, throughout the show, but a fun weekend, an important one. And now, you know, what we said for the road trip, you know, I said worst-case scenario, you got to go 4-5. You'll obviously one better than that. Well, the fact that you started off with a series win in Toronto, now you're expecting, you almost bump it up in what you're expecting, just because I think when you say 4-5, you're thinking you're going to lose the series against the Blue Jays. Now you're thinking, can you have a 6-3, 5-4 at worst? I think you got to make 5-4 as the worst case scenario.
Another great team, a red hot team in the Red Sox right now. Big for the Royals, man. You always say the series get bigger and bigger. Well, this one actually gets bigger than the Blue Jays. Blue Jays is huge, but the Red Sox bigger when you consider where they're sitting.
Yeah, they're at the point with 50 to go where like every series is going to be massive. Now, you were listing off playoff teams that are in front of them.
And obviously, Texas and Seattle will be the biggest.
Yeah, and you were listing off teams that are in front of them in playoffs, but if you have a good road trip, you come back to Kauffman Stadium, and you get the Nationals, and you get the White Sox. And if you think they need to be 8 to 10 games above .500 the rest of the way to get one of the wild card spots, well, those are series you just have to have. The Nationals and White Sox, and you know, wouldn't hurt if you swept one of those as well. I mean, that's the point you're at. Like, they've worked their way all the way back to .500. They get credit for that, but there is still a ton of road to go and ground to make up because of the hole they dug themselves in, you know, the 3 months prior. And the fact that they're in it, though, is going to make it fun for everybody. We'll have Vernon later on this week. Next week, we'll check back in with the general manager of the Kansas City Royals,
JJ Piccolo. It's good news for the Royals, because usually when you hit training camp and you get the first Chiefs preseason game, that's where all the attention shifts to the Chiefs. But the Royals are, keeping you occupied.